Our reading today comes from 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, and we'll read down through verse 8. Paul said, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." In this parting letter, Paul encourages Timothy to hold on to the gospel. He said others will give up the truth, but you, Timothy, continue in what you've learned. You stay with the scriptures. Back in chapter 3, he said, "You've known these scriptures since you were a child." Chapter 3, verse 15. He said, "Those same scriptures are inspired of God." Chapter 3, verse 16. And he said, "Those scriptures furnish us to every good work." Chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Now, in chapter 4, he says, "I'm charging you before God, preach that word." Verse 2. Then in verse 3, he said, "Preach it especially, because the time will come when not as many people will accept it. They will not endure sound doctrine," he said. "They will not endure Bible preaching. Sermons that reprove and rebuke and exhort," like he said in verse 2, "will not be tolerated. They will not listen to that kind of preaching. They will not allow it in their churches. They will not accept it or even tolerate it. They will go by their own lusts," Paul says. That means their own desires or their own wants. They want soft preaching. They want pleasing speeches. They want sermons that make people feel good no matter how sinful their life is. These people find the kind of preachers that they want. Paul says that they heap to themselves teachers. Now, the word heap here means to heap up, to accumulate in piles. So that means they don't just find one or two preachers that preach the way that they want. They find as many as they can get. And I wonder why that's so. I wonder why that people that want to hear these kinds of sermons not only look for one or two preachers who preach that way, but they find as many as they can get. Perhaps they feel secure in numbers. Perhaps they feel like that if they can find a great number of preachers who preach that way, then that will make them feel more like that they are right. Maybe they're like Ahab in the Old Testament. Ahab had 450 false prophets of Baal, and then he had 400 false prophets of the groves. Well, if those men were preaching the truth, why do you have to have 400 or 500? If one man is telling the truth, that's just as powerful and that's just as true as if 400 or 500 people said it. And if hundreds of people tell a lie, if hundreds of false preachers preach false doctrine, that doesn't make it any less false. Numbers don't determine truth. Only the facts determine what is right and what is wrong. And in this case, we're talking about the truth of God's word, and that truth will stand regardless of what these false preachers say. But Paul says, "Get ready, Timothy. Be prepared for the fact that there will be some who will find these kinds of preachers who will tell them what they want to hear," because he says they have itching ears. These people have an itch. And the illustration here is, if your ear is itching, then you want to scratch it. Well, that represents the fact that these people want their ears tickled or scratched. That means that they want to hear sermons that please them. With them, it doesn't make any difference what God wants to be preached. They're just concerned about what they want to hear. Now, doesn't that sound just like our age? What happens to these people? How do they look at the truth? Well, he tells us in verse 4, because he says they turn away from the truth and they turn to fables. They don't want the truth, and they won't tolerate the gospel, and they won't tolerate any man who preaches the gospel. So when men turn away from the truth, what's left for them to go to? Lies, fables. And that explains why so many are lost today. Paul says they turn away from the truth and turn to fables. In Matthew 7, 13 and 14, Jesus said that many will go down the road that leads to destruction, and few will find the way that leads to life everlasting. So it should be no surprise that so many people want a false gospel today. Paul wrote these words almost 2,000 years ago, and they're still true today. Now again, in verse 5, there's a contrast. Paul said, but. In verse 5, look at the first word. But, even though these people are going to want some other message, you stay true to the gospel of Christ. You keep on preaching and teaching the word of God as it's written. He says, but watch thou in all things. To watch means to be clear in your thinking. It means to be sober-minded. Have your eyes open and think clearly according to the word of God as you look at the different people and different issues in life. Number two, he said, endure afflictions. Every child of God will suffer persecution. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. And as a preacher, Paul says, Timothy, you will be tried. He's already talked to him about that in every chapter of this book. He talked to Timothy about hardships in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and now in chapter 4. As he writes his last words, Paul said, Timothy, be ready, be prepared to endure afflictions. Number three, he said, do the work of an evangelist. That's where your heart needs to stay. Make sure that your focus is on your work. And number four, Paul said, to fulfill, that is to make full proof of your ministry. That means to complete it, to finish it, to do your very best and to give your all to the service of Jesus Christ and to the preaching of His Word. Now we come to some very interesting verses in 2 Timothy. And these verses tell us the circumstances that Paul was in when he wrote this book. These verses tell us that Paul was near the end of his life. We know that he was in prison, and we've already mentioned the fact that as you look at books like Philippians and Ephesians and Colossians and Philemon, it appears that Paul expected to be released there. But here in the book of 2 Timothy, the tone is different. Paul didn't expect to be released. He expected to die. That's what verse 6 tells us. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Look at the last part of that verse. Paul said that the time of my departure, what departure? Is Paul saying that he was going to leave that prison and go to some other location? No, he's talking about his departure from this life. Paul is talking about departing from this earth. He knows that he is going to die, and again he says that that time of his death was at hand. That means it was near. As he wrote these words, Paul was soon to die. And that's why we've said that as you read every word in the book of 2 Timothy, you need to remember that Paul knows that he is going to die soon, and these are his last words that we have left behind for us. In the first part of the verse, Paul said, "For I am now ready to be offered." What does he mean that he is going to be offered? The word offer here means to pour out as a drink offering. Now, drink offering back in the Old Testament would mean that a Jew would go to the altar and pour out that olive oil or grape juice on that altar. And so it's used obviously here as a figure of speech. Paul is saying, I am going to be offered. And I'm going to be offered as a drink offering. I'm going to be poured out. That simply means that Paul's blood is going to be spilled in his death. He's not going to die of some kind of disease. He's not going to die of old age. He is going to be put to death. He is going to be executed, and it is going to be bloody. So Paul evidently has been sentenced to death, and he's awaiting execution, and he knows that that execution is going to be a violent death. There is a tradition which holds that Paul was beheaded under the reign of Nero. That tradition, of course, is outside of the Bible, but we do know that Paul died a violent death. Now, how did Paul look then at his life? Well, the Bible tells us in verse 7 that as he neared the end of his life, he could say these words, I have fought a good fight. And this is exactly what every child of God has to do. We have to fight the good fight of faith. And the good fight of faith is a battle that you have to fight from the beginning of your Christian life until the time that you die. Now, it varies in its circumstances. It differs in its challenges. But we have to fight that fight in one way or another until we die. Paul said, I have finished my course. He's using the illustration now of a runner who runs a race. And that runner has to keep running until the very end. He cannot give up. He cannot be sidetracked. He cannot just quit. He has to keep running that race until the very end. That's what Paul did. He never gave up. And he's telling Timothy, if I can do it, you can do it. And he's telling all of us as Christians, if he could endure the hardships that he did for all of his life and finish his course, then you and I can as well. And he says, I have kept the faith. He never renounced the gospel. He never gave up on the gospel. He never watered it down. He never turned to some kind of man-pleasing message. He continued to teach and to preach the gospel of Christ as long as he lived. And there's something else that's interesting about Paul's final words. In some of Paul's other letters, he talked about his past. He talked about his sins in the book of Galatians in chapter 1. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul talked at length about the sins that he had committed, especially in persecuting Christians before he was baptized. But here at the end of his life, he's not going back to those sins. He doesn't say, Timothy, now I've done some bad things. I've persecuted Christians, and I hope that God will forgive me. Paul knew better than that. Paul knew that God had forgiven him of his sins. And I believe that this is a strong example of confidence and assurance of salvation. Paul didn't beat himself up and feel guilty toward the end of his life. He didn't focus on the regrets that he has about the mistakes that he had made in the earlier part of his life. Instead, he focuses on heaven. And he emphasizes the fact that, Timothy, you need to continue in the faith. Paul's focus, Paul's aim is in verse 8. Toward the end of his life, he said, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. That's what Paul was looking for. That's what Paul was aiming for. And he was not going to be distracted nor discouraged by the cares and the distractions and the temptations of this life. And Paul said, this crown of righteousness is not only laid up for me, but for all those who love his appearing. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8.